When there are many places a campaign would like to be, but only one candidate to go around, there is a well-worn device to make for multiple exposure, the surrogates. If the candidate's got to be in California, the spouse can go to Indiana, the respected senator or governor who endorsed the candidate can make the rally in New Jersey, and the trusted aide or the movie star can show the flag on cable. Surrogates are all over the place this year, sometimes notoriously so, invoking images of monsters or Judases.
Judas, I mean, obviously was a key figure. Do you think the Richardson endorsement is that important?
Well, I don't. I'm using a metaphor, if you will.
I think it'd be a great thing if we had an election where you had two people who love this country and were devoted to the interest of the
country. And I'm happy and proud to support a candidate who loves his country so much.
It's because he is a black person. The black community is so excited about this.
Can I just clarify and say I don't think Hillary Clinton is a monster, and I get to be on television and say that.
There's a way to make this positive.
Obviously, wrangling surrogates is not always easy. It seems like we've been in the trading pawns stage of the Democratic primary season. Obama sacrifices a Samantha Power. Clinton gives up a Geraldine Ferraro. Joining us now are some people with experience at handling surrogates. Kevin Madden was national press secretary for the presidential campaign of Mitt Romney, and he worked on George Bush's 2000 campaign. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin. And Jennifer Palmieri, who's at the Center for American Progress now, was national press secretary for John Edwards in 2004 and a senior advisor this time around. Hiya.
See you again.
Kevin Madden, first, we've heard some surrogates making news in not altogether helpful ways. Can you offer some guidance for surrogates and their handlers?
Well, I think the first thing that you ask of surrogates is that they do no harm. You have to remember that you're out there to be an advocate for the candidate. You're out there to talk about the candidate's ideas, the candidate's campaign. You're not out there to be an analyst. And I think that's where a lot of the surrogates get in trouble, is that they feel like they're going to be out there and be a professional pundit. And your job is to, right before you're about to make a statement, ask yourself, is this going to do the candidate harm? And B, am I being an analyst or an advocate?
Right. Jennifer Palmieri, it sounds like a fine line to tread, because you're asking someone who has to be prominent enough in his or her own right to make it valuable to have them there, but not to be speaking in their own right.
Right. I mean, the value normally is not in what the surrogate is going to say, but in the fact that they may draw people out and get the attention of people that would not otherwise pay attention to the candidate. So that is what the value is. And what you have to balance is convincing them that they should not make news. You know, what I will often say is, you know, you understand that the press will take anything you say and they will try to use it against you. And you just have to assume that that is what they're going to try to do, to make them extra special, guarded. And also, I think it's best to not say, you know, don't try to represent the candidate. Tell people why you were for the candidate. And then you might be better off. But as we heard in your montage, that doesn't necessarily protect you.
Now, I want to ask you about a particular kind of surrogate and your experiences, the spouse. I mean, how can the national press secretary, the campaign manager, or whoever presume to tell surrogate number one, the spouse, what to say and what not to say?
Boy, I mean, it's tough. I mean, we probably have similar experiences here, but I always thought that that Elizabeth Edwards was somebody who was, you know, she was speaking for the candidate so often that you, right. It was very hard to, and she has, she's been through so many of these campaigns before that she was much, I think, much better of a surrogate than, now, Mrs. Romney was a wonderful surrogate. I mean, she was somebody who was an incredible validator on the issues of family and the issues of exactly who Mitt Romney was. The challenge was, here's somebody who's not used to dealing with the national media.
Right.
So your task as a staffer is to really get them to a level of comfort where they have to understand that reporters are going to ask questions. And the hardest part from a staffer challenge was just going through kind of sample questions and getting them just very comfortable with the media.
Now, Elizabeth's problem, of course, is that she was too comfortable with the media. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth, who is one of my very best friends, we had a lot of animated discussions about what she would say publicly. And I don't think – you can't overly script them. I mean, the press tells when they're being
absolutely
fake or not
right.
being them. Yeah. So you just have to you know, give them as much guidance to try and stay in some parameters and then also understand that they are the spouse.
Did you find Kevin working with Mitt Romney this time around and Jennifer working with John Edwards, did you find that the media environment for campaigns and the demand for surrogates is different today than it's been in the past? Are the media changing on you a lot?
I think that they are. I think that, first of all, since the campaign is so long and the candidates go so many places, I think it's harder to get attention passion for surrogates than it
except
used to
be. Except when they screw
up. Except when they screw up.
Which is deceptive right there, because one could be out campaigning for a candidate, assuming that you're well below the national radar. Nobody pays attention
right.
to these events.
Right, I don't imagine.
Until you're caught on somebody's cell phone.
Right, I don't imagine that Geraldine Ferraro thought the Daily Breeze in Torrance, California was going to be the
or
the
Scotland
publication
newspaper, that
publication.
Or Scotland newspaper
right.
was going to get
the Scotsman,
the,
right.
the Scotsman
Jenna,
was
right.
going to be.
Samantha Power was giving an interview. Right. Let me ask you just a reality check. I was very struck, and judging from how often it's appeared on Meet the Press, I assume Tim Russert was also very struck by an appearance that Bill Bradley gave with Geraldine Ferraro, actually, on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, in which Bradley, speaking on behalf of Senator Obama, managed to get to the word in calling for the release of all of Senator Hillary Clinton's papers, managed to get to the word pardons by the end of his statement. And my assumption as a viewer is he can't be freelancing when he said that.
They can absolutely be freelancing. I think I worked for the Clintons for 8 years. I've been in politics for a long time. There's a lot of times that people assign conspiratorial motivations to when people just screw up or when people take a license that they don't have. And it would not surprise me at all if that was
right. I think that's a good point. I think oftentimes people believe that there's a subtext to every single text. This is a discussion I have with reporters all the time. They always say, well, what did he mean by saying A, B, and C? And I go, well, he probably meant A, B, and C. There's not a conspiracy here. When you have somebody who's a prominent surrogate, you can use them as a conduit. You can use them as a delivery mechanism for your message, and oftentimes promote them to say sorts of things.
But the higher the profile, the bigger the risk that person is going to make a mistake and get a lot of attention for it.
Well, thanks to both of you, Democrat Jennifer Palmieri and Republican Kevin Madden.
Great to be with
you. Thanks for having us.